Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight is artist, painter, John Pagano. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Mark.
I'm realizing I missed having conversation with you, and I don't know whether it's because we're somewhat of a similar age, and that you're a very serious painter, and I really deeply appreciate that. But I just enjoy talking to you, so thank you so much for coming.
I feel the same way. It was first time. You know how nervous.
Oh yeah.
I had prepped 2 days. This time,
Don't ever prep.
This time, I grabbed a coffee at Roots and Reed in Tattnick Square, and I headed down. No notes.
That's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed that you prepped. Now, first of all, you have a show coming up.
It's at the Sprinkler Factory. It opens September 7th. It's called Out of Line. Out of Line being my pessimistic view of the world, how things are skew, how my work is pretty work to look at, but it has a twist to it where I'm really discouraged at the way things are going. I can't believe how we haven't figured stuff out.
Most basic stuff.
You know what it is, Mark? It's like these mass shootings that have been happening. Oh, but the good thing about it is we get to open the discussions about assault rifles. It's like, I thought the discussion started 30 years ago.
Well, you know, remember, we did have legislation.
Oh, God, it's just...
Isn't that amazing?
Nothing changes.
It's not that nothing changes. Things are going backward.
Right.
Because we did make progress on certain things. It's like racial issues.
Right.
Just when you thought we were making some progress on racial issues. You know, and it's interesting as an artist to talk to you about stuff like that, about how that affects when you confront the canvas, what goes into it. Because I've read some of your statements about you painting. And you talk about sometimes the process is very automatic.
Mm-hmm. Usually, yep.
Okay. Talk about the tenor of the times and what that does to your line and your sense of color.
The tenor of the times?
Being what's going on in the world. Does it affect your palette?
It does. Like I was saying previously, my life has been upside down for the past year and a half, almost 2 years. And this whole show is the past 20 months worth of work. And my before this 20-month period, I was known as a colorist. Things went south in my life for a while, and still are rocky. But my palette turned to black and white. So it's like, if you like color, you want to label me as a colorist. How about some black and white? So I went to black and white, and it basically is
Can I just stop you? Do you resent when people try to find a label that they feel like they have to call
they
you?
They have to put a label, Mark. They have to put you in a place. They have to understand where you live.
Do you sometimes just purposely then, I'm going to create art that's going to defy
you
that?
You have to do it, though. You have to do it. You know, it's like, Mark Lynch, radio announcer. Yeah. It's like, and that's who you are. You can't be anything else.
That's exactly right. And that's when I come out as the birder.
That's right. Yeah. You know what I mean? It bothers me to be pigeonholed, and I think people love to pigeonhole everybody.
I see in your strokes and stuff, I see it resonances, not copies of them, but I look at things like Franz Klein, those kinds of strokes in your work and overwork back and forth. Yep. But your stuff is sort of monumental. You've been working large.
I've always loved working large. It has its drawbacks, especially in this part of the country. It's New England. Houses are small. Rooms are small.
So nobody's going to buy it.
Right. People would come in, love this painting. I would love to own
this. I hate that.
But I don't have any place to put it. And I'd say, you don't need a refrigerator. Just get rid of it and put it. It's a very hard sell, but I've come to a new place in my life where I'm not. I don't want to be concerned about that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it. Maybe it's the age or whatever.
You've been working since 78.
Yeah, I know, and I'm just stubborn, I guess. You know, plus I don't like to be easy on myself. You know, it's like, I know this is a rock, trying to move a rock of abstraction with 5x5 foot paintings.
So, how many works are in the show?
I hope Tim Johnson's not listening.
Uh-oh.
He's the guy setting it up. But I've got, I believe, about 25 frame drawings. I'm going to have a bin of drawings that are glassine covered, acid-free foam core in a bin, like you'd flip through albums. I'm trying to get in at least 6 sculptures. at, well, nine in total. Three are going to be hanging, three will be on the wall, and three will be freestanding. I've got paintings on Dacron. I've got paintings that are 5 feet wide by 10 feet high that are clear acetate. It's like super hard. The acetate thing is really cool. It's really where I want to go further.
Talk to me about this.
Well, it's a friend of mine gave me a roll, 5 feet high, like 2 miles long, and it's super clear.
Yep.
And it excites me to do it because with a new material, you have to know what you're doing as far as, is it going to last? You have to do testing. You have to experiment. You have to. So I built these windows for my greenhouse out of this plastic, and they've been up for a year outside through the winter. No crazing, no yellowing, no cracking, nothing. So I decided.
Okay, I just want to stop you right there. That's amazing that you as an artist do that. So you're field testing your work.
Well, that comes from model building also.
Okay.
I've done a lot of model building.
I love it.
You know, where you have to do tests.
Yeah.
You know, like to say, you want to price how to do a model, figure out what it's going to take, double the time, and add 15%, you'll be okay. And that's
really are a working artist.
Oh, yeah. I love to work. I love to work. I like to work
okay,
with
my back
hands.
To the acetate. Mm-hmm. Are you painting on the acetate the way, and it's funny, I just did a big interview about cell animation, the way that cell animators painted on acetate. In other words, they had to do everything backwards. If they had like a reflection on something, they would have to put that down first before they put the object.
On the back.
Yeah. Right. Are you working that way?
Yeah, that's the way you have
to. So the smooth surface of the acetate is uppermost to the viewer's eye,
that's right.
The painting work is behind. That's tough work.
I work on the front and the back. And I also do.
Wow.
I also do layers. So
yeah, like just like a cell animation.
So you mix yellow and you mix two colors to get together, red and orange,
yep.
Or you know whatever they are to come up with a green, say or whatever. You can mix those colors with having one layered on top of another, as opposed to mixing it on the palette. You kind of mix it on the canvas.
Any space between the two layers?
No, they're basically tight
just
together.
Just tight. Wow.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and. Getting off the subject, Liv, what's exciting to me right now is all this time painting. I don't know if you remember before when I was talking to you, it was, for me, painting is, I consider it to be signature painting, okay?
Well, you have a series called Signature Painting.
It's basically the way it's basically the whole body of work. And what it means is that you have a signature show. Okay, you look back 15, 20 years on how you did the show and how it's evolved, but it hasn't been like, okay, this week I'm going to be straight shooter. Next week I'm going to add sound effects. And then the week after that, we'll do some singing in the, you know what I mean? You don't change it that fast, but it slowly evolves.
Right.
Just the way your signature evolves. But what's happened in the past 3 months is I've realized that doing two-dimensional, three-dimensional work, on paper, on the wall, hanging, it doesn't matter. They all are beginning to look the same. I see the same language coming up, circles and dots, and I'm using templates, and those are transferring into the sculptural work. And so it's almost like one language is becoming, you know, I've come up with a new signature now, but it's taken a long time to get there. And it's kind of a neat thing. I feel like I'm finally somewhere.
I want to talk. That's an interesting moment. I love talking to artists about how they evolve, and when you sort of realize you've reached a new plateau, is there some kind of gut feeling like this is I've just developed a new language?
It all comes together.
Like you know it. Yeah, it clicks.
It's like a little kid that's using a word once in a while. You can what did you say? But the thing is that, but all of a sudden they start talking and saying, you know, they put a sentence together, and it's that's kind of what's happening. Across the board.
This is a huge amount of work in this show.
Hmm?
This is a huge variety of work that's going to be in the show.
That's just the thing. And, you know, the reason I'm doing it, I'm not going to say that they're all resolved. Although the work is finished, I don't feel like it's the issues in all the different medium are resolved 100%. I still have work to do with all of it.
Well, I would hope so.
But the thing is what's neat about it is I want to show that I want to make a statement that you can do all kinds of work. It doesn't have to. I didn't want the show to be paintings, you know, Dacron or this. It's like I do all this other stuff, okay? And because it has now become all interrelated, visually you can see that it's all interrelated.
Pieces play off each other like a sculptural play off a painting?
Pretty much. Yep. You can see that. You can see the whole thing, and it all has to do with like a mechanized world where it's just I consider myself a disillusioned optimist, I guess is what it is. You know, the political climate has kind of done me in. I just can't believe we are where we are. I want to take an ad out in the paper that says, are we really this bad that we allow this stuff to continue happening and happening? It bums me out, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people.
I see a world in decline, mostly, and I'm a negative. I can be negative.
I think we're on the same mindset here, and I'm a person who works in the environmental field, and I can tell you the world is in decline.
It's unbelievable.
Politically, socially, I'm at the, you know, having lived, and both of us lived through Nixon, and those were dark times, the Vietnam War, dark times.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel this is the darkest time I've lived through.
It's pretty,
globally.
It's
weird. But as an artist, do you get any kind of sense of getting it out there and therefore examining it by putting it out in the work? I mean, is there a thing where you get it out, you stand back and you go, okay, I exercised at least part of a demon?
I try to do that. It you know, it's like if I could paint, someone had said, if I can paint long enough, I could solve all my problems. You know, and it is true.
Yeah, but you're going to be painting a long time.
That's
in
right.
These
you,
days.
You do it forever. Okay. You do it forever. But it's...
Well, you know, you just read me a quote by William Blake. Read that quote.
He sees the world through the narrow chinks in his cavern. People stay home. They look through this little cut in their window. You know what I mean? Little shade, who's pulling by or whatever. And that's where they live. You know, it's people don't move outside themselves. And I like to challenge myself. It's like they say, some people have to hang on the side of a cliff with a rope to feel alive. You know what I mean? And you do what you got to do. You have to do. You do what you have to do to, you know, keep it.
There's
exciting,
a great.
Keep it
there's
changing.
A great Zen koan about that.
Mm-hmm.
So a man was being chased by a tiger. He throws himself off over a cliff, holding on by a vine. He looks down below him. There's another tiger below, waiting to eat him. And next to him is a small strawberry plant. He takes the strawberry, and it was the best strawberry he ever ate.
Right. Oh, there's another good one. There's another quote that I sort of liked. It's something about he chewed his coffee because it was the last thing he had to eat in his broken down car.
Oh,
something
wow.
Like that. You know, but things like that, or Dylan.
That sounds like where we are.
And I get inspired by lines, you know, it looks like I'm moving, but I'm standing still. That kind of stuff.
I have to run twice as fast to just stay in the same place. I'm fascinated by this bin that's going to be in the show. Is that to make the art more accessible?
Yes. I've decided through talking.
You know, you've sort of done everything possible to like meet the audience halfway.
Well, you know what it is, Mark?
You field test your materials. You're doing a variety of work. You're a hard effing worker, and, you know...
The thing is that the work has to be accessible. I've asked different friends, different opinions. I want to get my work out there. I would love to sell some work. I'm low on supplies. And I asked people, you know, should I bend over the couch for this show on prices, or should I stick to my prices?
Stick to your prices.
And most people say...
Stick to your prices.
Just what you're saying, stick to your prices. But the thing is, the people...
I hate that people think that they can make a deal.
Yeah, but...
I know.
It's like people...
You want your work seen.
Art market today is just so bad. I mean, it really is.
For several decades now, it's become the equivalent of pop rock. You know, it really is the image that you project and then, you know, what articles and how you look.
Oh, yeah. It's all self-promotion.
It's all self-promotion and creating the image. And again, that's one of the reasons I enjoy you as an artist, because you're still working the way I always imagine artists be working in like 1915, 1955,
right.
You know,
right.
And maybe mine's a romantic image of an artist, but it's hard work. And the other thing is you're working in abstraction, which nowadays, I taught several classes at Worcester Art Museum, Embracing the Abstract. That was the name of it. It was just to get people used to just standing in front of an abstract work and actually finding out that it's the most enjoyable work because it really is the one where the viewer can put everything into it. It's not telling me shit. Right. I have to reveal it. I have to really explore it. I have to find myself in the work and talk about it. And there'll be a lot of different viewers seeing a lot of different things, but there's stuff there.
Right.
And I've always loved, deeply loved total abstract work. But nowadays, it seems like it's a tough sell. Like we went through a period where abstraction and minimalism was the rage, and I hate to use that term, and now people can't deal with abstract
anymore.
It's
like anymore.
Fashion. It is.
But the thing is, Mark, you got to stick with it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying don't
stick. You know, when the sea gets rough, you don't turn back and go to shore. Try to keep going. You know what I mean?
That's what I respect about you.
And have confidence that what you're doing is right, you know. And I know it's 10% of the market, maybe, but I don't.
We do a lot with murals on the buildings here, and they're very, very graphic. They're sort of surrealistic or whatever. The best ones are. But, would we ever dare to put up an abstract work on a wall? And I would be fascinated by that because every time I would pass that work, I would feel something different about it. Whereas it's very didactic at this point, you know, it's all out there. I understand it. I get the joke. What I always have loved about abstract work is that I can always walk in and depending upon my mood, my history, what's going on in my life, I see something different.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the joy of it. I think I paint between. My work has never been 100% representational. You know, I may want to do a painting of someone sitting in a chair, and I'll do that occasionally. Maybe 3% of the time I'll do something like that. All the other time, I just go up to a white canvas, and I just start. And I don't think about it too much. And I'll listen to the same song maybe 20 times as I'm doing it. And I try to get into the mood.
Name me a song that you listen to.
I like It Ain't Dark Yet, but it's getting there. Dylan's album Time Out of Mind is probably one of his best. Yeah. And other things, lately I've been listening to just high energy, Supertramp, 10cc. I go in the morning, I'm exhausted.
I
put
10cc.
That on, and it just starts blasting, and it gives me energy, and it can get
so you have no you don't there's no pre sketching. There's
I
no,
don't work from sketches. No, not too much. Very rarely.
Laying down those first couple of strokes or lines. It's got to determine the rest of the work, though.
Yeah, well, you follow. I mean, the canvas will tell you what to do. I mean, that is really the truth. You know, if you give you a white canvas, all you got to do, first off, you can teach. I can teach anyone.
I think the most terrifying thing in the world is to confront the blank canvas.
Okay, I was on the Cape at a party late, and this guy was saying, I went out to Colorado skiing, and they brought me up. They took us up in a helicopter to this top of this mountain. We're looking down, and it's white, and you wouldn't believe how steep it was. It was so scary. It's like, you want to see scary? Stand in front of a 5x5 white canvas. You know what I mean?
And it's same true for writers, that blank page.
Yep.
It's the same thing,
it's
man.
It's just getting started. Chuck Close says, amateurs wait for inspiration. The rest of us just get to work. And it's really true.
Do you feel like you're forcing it sometimes?
Yeah. I make myself go to work every day. You know, sometimes I clean for 2 hours, then I'll get started. And, sometimes I'll be there all day, and by 6 at night, I'm starting to go, all right, now I'm ready to go. You know, oh, God, I got to get home by 8:30. So it's hard in that way.
People do not, especially working in abstract or somewhere in that realm between abstraction and pictorial work. It's those first half hour of laying out the color or the line or whatever.
Yeah, it's I enjoy it. You know, I
think the toughest thing in the world is to do a good abstract painting.
It is. It can be difficult, I'll say.
Because there is crap abstraction.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't understand that.
And to be honest with you, I've become a disillusioned. I've been disillusioned about everything. But one of my disillusionments of abstract work today is basically its color. It's
right.
Really all color. I mean, it's like beautiful colors, and they're well done, and I've done that in the past. And it's really kind of just about a little composition, but beautiful peach colors going into rose, and there's a quick line going across it, and that's it. For me, there's no poetry there. I need poetry. You know, when I do a painting, like I said, I will develop to a certain point, but guaranteed everybody, the reason Brian Goslow likes my paintings is because I can journey anywhere I want to go when I look
right
at them.
That's exactly
the
right.
The truth is, it can be a parade, it can be a mountain, it can be a bird, it can be, I mean, you make up your own story.
Well, that's for me is the joy of abstraction, good abstraction.
That's what it's supposed to, that for me is what it's about.
You yeah, know, the light hits it a different way, it's a different trip.
Yep, and you know, I've been using a lot of different materials too. I've started, because I'm doing some sculpture work, that, like I said, bleeds into the painting work. You know, I'm using chicken wire, you know, chicken wire, acetate, sailcloth, tomato cages.
I love it.
Fiberglass tape, oil and acrylic paint, magnets. All right, when I have these, I've been doing these sculptures out of crushed tomato cages. You're familiar with the tomato cage?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And I'll crush it, and I'll get mad, and I'll pull it, and I'll turn it, and I'll put it on the wall. And I'd take it off and make some other bends to it, put it back on the wall. And I'll want to experiment, like, do I want to put a piece of clear something here? Do I want a piece of canvas covering this little area? And what I've started to do is I use these, like, little earth magnets to hold everything in place.
Oh, cool.
So it's easy to reverse it and say, okay, right, no, that doesn't work. Take it off. So magnets have become kind of important. And
it's also the way you work. It's a creative invention all the time to see how to make things work better.
Exactly. I enjoy the experimenting part of it.
I love it.
You know what I mean? And the research part of it. How can you do this I've done design work for a while, and the litmus test for good design is like, look at, I came up with this new eyeglass case. It's like, okay, well, let's look at it. Well, let's shoot it full of holes. That spring is not going to be strong enough. You know, this is not a rigid exterior surface. The inside is way too rough, but other than that, it's good. So what you do is you go back after you've shot it through a hole, shot it full of holes. If it's still standing, it's good, and you fix it.
So this sort of experimentation on the materials is so much, it seems to be very much a part of your work.
Yeah.
This is completely unlike the American abstractionists of the 50s, by the way, who would use, and this is true, salad oil on their canvases, and they didn't give a crap about what happened, right, what would happen to the canvases.
A conservative's nightmare.
Oh my God, the Franz Klein that was in the Worcester Art Museum, where all the blacks started to peel off, and it was a conservative's nightmare.
Right.
But you're doing something completely different. You're actually experimenting with the materials, yep, instead of just throwing it up there and seeing what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you use the materials that best suit your expression. You know, Louise Bourgeois, who's a sculptress, I don't know if she's dead, said that you make something out of wood, not because you like wood, because the wood allows you to make the expression that you want to make. You make it out of metal, not because you like metal. You know what I mean? You
I
use
totally
what
get
basically
this.
is the material to suit the expression. And
talk to me about sculpture versus painting for you. Totally different gut experience?
It's a totally different experience. I can do a painting in a day. I mean, it's the same for small sculptural stuff. I can do one quickly, like a painting. But usually, for the last show, a year and a half ago, 20 months or so, I had sculptures that I wanted to put in, but they really weren't done. I'm hoping that they'll be done for this show.
Okay.
And they've been sitting there, hanging there, whatever, for like a year. And it takes that long for me to add a piece, find the right foot, find it something that,
well, you know, this gets
like
to the, I don't think most people understand how artists work. I think they think I'm going to paint a painting today, and right, at the end of the day it's done and that's, yeah, it, and they don't understand that you go back, you rehash it, you may totally throw it out,
it's a hard process. And to me, Mark, it's kind of like, if I wanted to do a painting of you sitting in the room with your control boards and all that, I can do it, and I have something to refer to. But with abstraction, there's nothing solid to look at. There's only the mood that you want to create. You know what I mean? If you want to try to create something that's, you know, somber or exciting or colorful or dark, and you know, it's just it's a different.
You're at sea when you're doing abstraction. You're just, it's you and the ocean, and that's it.
You do whatever you want to do, and that's the other thing that's changed in my work. It's like, I'm not going to say I don't care anymore. But I've reached this plateau. It's kind of like, you know what? just throw it to the wind. What are they going to do if it doesn't work? Are they going to take away your birthday?
They're going to take away your artist license.
You do whatever you want. Do what you want and enjoy it. And that's really what it comes down to. And I'm fortunate that I can take that attitude right now and work that way. I've been, you know, very lucky. I have a supportive wife, and you know, she allows me the time that I need. You know, right down the line, this is where I've always wanted to be. I always knew I would be a painter in a studio like this, as the romantic vision you're talking about. This is my romantic vision.
You're one of those people that's living that classic life. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, you are.
Although it's a hard life.
It can be. I you know, sometimes I think it's just throwing it out because, you know, I'd like to do nothing more sometimes than just be at home, you know, maintain my yard, make it a little park, plant flowers and mow the grass and make it
look great. What's the longest you've ever gone without doing any kind of art?
Any art? Let's see. I slept 6 hours last night. You know, it's always on your mind. You know, it is always on your mind. You're always thinking about it. It's become easier because I've accepted what's coming at me as far as, you know, all right, I trust myself now. You know, you can't be creative and analytical at the same time. So you have to know that, and you've got to realize it, and you've got to try, okay, this looks like crap now, but you know what? I'm going to keep working on it and changing it. This is what I'm supposed to do. It said it wants purple. I'm putting purple. You know, you don't argue with it. And you trust that things are going the way they're supposed to. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that kind of like lets your guard down. And it allows it to flow.
We're almost out of time, John.
Again?
I know.
Oh, God.
Now, I want to go over the show. How long is it up for? And like, give the dates, the bracket dates.
It opens on September 7th and it goes till the end of the month.
So it's going to be up for a while.
Yeah, it's up for 1 month.
It's called Out of Line. Whoa, nice work on the invitation.
Yeah, that's a Dacron piece. It's called Blue Oculus.
And recent work means there's going to be sculptural work. There'll be acetate work. There's painting work.
I'm really committing to the sculpture on the show, Mark.
You are.
I'm hoping.
So you're hanging it out there on the sculpture.
I'm putting it out there like it's going to be there, and I'm 95% sure it will be. But it's, you know, I still have a week to go. I've got a few things to finish, but a lot of them are.
So it's
going to
be worth the price
of
admission just to see what's in the show. This is fascinating because this is like, it's not a show that everything's in the can. It's in process.
It's going to be, I like to make things special.
Okay. We're completely out of time. My returning guest tonight, and I'd like to have him back every once in a while just so we can talk about art. Is artist, painter, sculptor. John Pagano, please come see his show, Out of Line, at the Sprinkler Factory. It's going to be up through September 7th through September 29th. It's really worth going to see your work. John, always a pleasure talking to you.
You know it is for me, Mark. I love talking to you.
I know. It's great conversation.
This was too quick.
I know. It was.
Why did I put 2 hours in the meter?
I know. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.